Hey, guys.
Hey, Warren.
Glad you could join us today.
Behind the scenes action here.
Welcome to worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brewer Show.
I was about to take those.
I was about to take them.
You scarfed them. You used them.
You just took it from me.
Well, I
you thieved
right
the thief.
I did.
I was kidding. Hope you guys are having a great morning today.
I'm going to put my...
We got internet hot and running today. Everything's updated.
Yeah, we went down yesterday.
Whole system went down as far as internet in our studio. I mean, it went down, cold dud.
Hey, but you know what, though? I played one of the absolute best tapes we've ever done yesterday.
Did you?
I have been getting compliments from all over the world.
I got some emails on it, too.
I guess people love that show.
Well, because the thing was, everybody knew it was an older show, but it's a really good show because that was before we even did visuals.
Well, you know, it's funny, too, because the microphones aren't the same, and your voice and my voice were different.
Were they really?
Yeah, a little different, yeah.
Well, because, yeah, because
different microphones.
Yeah, that's where I used to wear my headset. You know, and sometimes, guys, you know, we're going to do that occasionally if we have to handle business or we're going out of town. Because some of those old shows, I mean, you remember, we've been doing these shows for a decade now.
Yeah, I just done a show with Sarah Westall.
Some of those shows are really good. I've listened to them, especially during, right after the COVID period. A lot of the shows during COVID were very COVID-based. Because everything was going on so crazy.
Yeah, they're doing to everybody.
Yeah, and what they did to everybody. So it was one of those things where a lot of those shows were around. But if it's funny, if you listen to some of the old COVID shows we had, you'll be shocked on how extremely accurate we were without any of the knowledge being out. Talking about with the shot, about OSHA, with Biden, about the mandates. I mean, we were talking about this in early 2021 before that stuff even happened, if you remember. Before stuff even got put into place, when they were rolling the show out or the shot out. And here's what's interesting. Oh, and by the way, give you guys one heads up on it. In the afternoon, I'll be changing the ultimate multiple product of the week. Hope you guys, if you got it, get it on sale. It'll probably change around 3 or 4 o'clock today to the excellent C.
Our powdered multiple. Every time we put that on sale, it goes nuts.
Well, it's got so much product in it. I know it's a lot more money than the ultimate multiple capsules. But there's a reason why. It's the same thing like this. When you don't have to deal with capsulization or packaging, and you can just put the raw material in there.
Oh, it's a lot more product.
Way more productivity as far as being able to put it in there and less work. So you can do a lot more.
And you don't have to swallow pills. I just put it in my drink.
Did you?
Yeah.
I got some Fit Food here. In a minute here, I'm throwing there. But so be sure to check it out on sale, product of the week. And this is what I want to tie into with COVID. Remember I told you guys the whole thing with OSHA, it was unbelievably corrupt. And if you really didn't want to file it, I had dozens of people during COVID talking about what was going on with the mandates and how OSHA was going to basically fine these companies. You remember the whole $50,000 per employee that didn't take the COVID shot? And I told you guys, I said, you have to file a religious exemption with the company that you have a strongly held religious belief against taking this vaccine, verbatim. You know, and I had numerous people in healthcare and other companies that were able to get past it and not get the shot.
We gave people the protocols on how to do it.
How to do it. And one of my good friends, family of mine, I'm not going to put his name out there, but he worked for Lockheed Martin, and he filed an entire form with them. He said, I have a strongly held religious belief. Well, they brought him into a Zoom conference. They said, we need to know what your belief is. He goes, well, I'm letting you know right now. I'm recording this conversation, and I am going to give it to counsel that I've obtained. I have a retainer with counsel that I'm going to give them this to make sure I'm protected with my religious freedoms. They said, what do you mean? He goes, I have a retainer. I've got an attorney. And he said, oh, you're recording this conversation. Absolutely, I'm recording this conversation. Okay, well, we're going to let you know that your religious exemption's approved. No worries. Click, done. Zoom meeting over. That fast. Didn't bring it up again, and the other people tried to do it and just play the game without the religious exemption. Terminated. Lockheed Martin gave no exemptions at all. If you didn't put it in, they said nope. And as soon as he started doing that, he set the precedent because other employees that hadn't got the shot listened to him and did the same thing. Said, we want nothing to do with this. We're not dragging attorneys and lawsuits and religious exemption to Lockheed Martin, because everybody knows Lockheed Martin's got some deep pockets. They start violating religious exemption beliefs. Everybody I know that filed those exemptions with other companies or hospitals that didn't get approved and got terminated are all in massive, massive multi-million-dollar lawsuits now as far as with healthcare companies, and they're going to get paid because it was a direct violation. Here's what I tie in with this. OSHA now admits it told employers not to report the COVID vaccine injuries. So OSHA was given the authority to terminate or basically to find companies that didn't terminate people that got the COVID shot. And OSHA specifically came out and said, we do not wish to have an appearance of discouraging workers from receiving COVID-19 vaccination. We also do not wish to disincentivize employees' vaccination efforts. As a result, OSHA does not intend to enforce recording requirements to require any employers to record worker side effects from COVID-19 vaccination.
This is unbelievable.
This was released in June 28, 2021. At the height of the vaccine rollout. So they said, we're forcing your employees to get the shot. We're going to fine you. But we do not want to know any side effects that occur. We don't want anything reported. We want nothing told to us at all. America got played, guys. We got played big time with this.
The whole planet got played.
Everybody got played. And so the funny part about it is I've listened to some of these old shows now, and we've talked about it in detail. And, everybody's just absolutely over it, and I'm so glad so many people now have really seen the truth, and so many people are really waking up on a lot of other topics.
Well, the crazy part about it is when you understand that they wanted a global reduction of the population, and they injected 4 billion people with a shot that changes the DNA, that attacks the ovaries, that attacks the testicles, people haven't seen yet the reduction of population that's going to occur globally because of these shots. It's going to, and you know, don't get me wrong, there are third world countries that need to have their population checked. For some reason, they don't know how to use birth control. I just thought I'd mention that, you know, in passing here on the show. They don't get the concept. And even when you pass out birth control for men, I'm not going to go into detail here because this is a P-rated show today, PG-rated, they don't use it. They don't use the program. And so a lot of people believe, especially in the African countries, that it's this big deal to have sex with a virgin and get them pregnant. You think, well, this is awful. Well, yeah, I'm just telling you. And then I remember I was in Kenya years ago on safari with Sharon. And we had these big medians in the highways. You weren't there, but I've told the story. And there were literally camps of children, ages like 5 to 10 to 12, in these
on their own?
On their own. Parents were dead with AIDS. In some parts of Kenya, 95% of the people had AIDS. But the goal here was for these guys to have sex with these young girls, you know, because that was proving their virility. And then they turn around and die of AIDS, but the children are still there.
That's horrible.
No, it's awful. And I thought to myself, this is crazy. So there are some countries in the world that birth control is really needed. Now, in the United States, you know, in Holland and in Germany and all these European Western ally states, the birth control is pretty much has decimated the indigenous population. Basically, the white people stopped having babies. And, you know, and so they brought all these immigrants in, especially into Germany with that communist Angela Merkel, who was raised under the Communist Youth League in East Germany. And they opened up the doors and, you know, Gaddafi warned everybody. He said, if you take me out of Libya, you're going to open the doors into Europe and we're going to flood Europe with immigrants. And that's exactly what they wanted. And that's exactly what they did, thinking that they could bring these people in to work for them and have workers because their population was reducing. And all they've done now is allow themselves to be taken over by Muslims. And the problem is, when you look at Somalia, some of these average IQs are around 60. And they couldn't be taught how to correct or how to run machinery. They couldn't do it. And so now they're stuck with all these people over there that they're having to support. And Germany's in trouble financially now. And the sad part about it is Germany, just like the United States, Austin, the white population is not reproducing. And so they've seen within 25 years now that Germany's going to be a Muslim country.
Oh, yeah.
Because these Muslims are coming Muslims are coming in and having 5 or 6 or 7 babies. You know,
Or more. Because they'll have 5 or 6 different wives. They'll have 4 or 5 babies with each wife.
A lot of kids.
Starts growing exponentially after a couple generations.
Well, you know, and the sad part about it is, you know, with the Christian beliefs, you know, that was basically in Germany, they charge 10% tax if you go to church.
Yeah.
I mean, like if you get baptized and you go to church on a regular basis, they fine you 10%. It's not they don't willingly give you that.
That's also too because of the guys that love free air taking Germany over after World War II.
It hasn't stopped. There's a movie. There's a movie that was done, and it made me boycott Brad Pitt until this new movie came out for F1. I boycotted Brad Pitt for over 10 years.
Yeah.
The movie's called Inglourious Bastards.
Trash movie.
No, I watched that movie for like 6 minutes, got up and walked out.
Yeah.
Okay?
It was a giant pro-Jew film is all it was.
It was a giant anti-German film.
Yeah.
And some of these people I found out in Germany, these children, were required to watch this in junior high school.
Are you serious?
It was required.
Graphic show.
No, because they wanted to degrade Germans.
That's exactly what they did.
But they come out with a movie like The Good German. There's one good German. And the Germans to this day are still forced to watch the Holocaust stuff in schools, and every year they've got to go out.
I didn't know this till recently. Every single time somebody is brought into Congress or the Senate, they are required through AIPAC to go on an Israeli trip to go get all the propaganda. They fly them around. They take them to the Holocaust Museum. They make them watch
the
film.
Well, they have to sign a statement, according to Cynthia McKinney, that basically they're going to support Israel.
Correct.
The problem is, when you have a country that is being controlled by the Rothschild banking cartel, Israel is the fiefdom of the Rothschilds, and that is what they want is a one-world currency that's digital.
Right.
One world central bank that is all digital, and that's what Klaus Schwab was trying to do with the World Economic Forum out of Switzerland.
You guys will like this. All this theater is going on right now, right, with the whole government shutdown. The FAA now is in chaos. They're shutting down these airports. Somebody sent me this.
California.
This is accurate, by the way. Give me camera four, Rich. Funding to Israel will not be impacted by the shutdown whatsoever. U.S. assistance to Israel, including military aid, defense system supports, intelligence cooperation, and more, is treated as essential function under federal law. All payments considering vital to maintain America's strategic alliance and ensure continuity in defense operations, even during budgetary gridlocks.
You don't have it on camera four. Have
oh, there we there. Go. Sorry.
Okay. Let's put that camera on four real quick, Rich. Funding to Israel won't be impacted. And I think that's Bubble Boy Rubio.
That is, that's Bubble Boy Rubio Netanyahu. Looks like I don't know what they're doing. They're probably doing something
you
nefarious.
You know what? That's an absolutely awful photograph.
That paints it pretty accurate with those two, though.
That's about as gay as it gets.
That's about as gay as they are. Let's be real. I mean, this whole thing has gotten
The reason we got Bubble Boy Rubio is there were pictures of him in a gay bathhouse
in Miami
taking a bubble bath with a bunch of other gay boys.
I'm not going to put those videos up.
We're not going to put those videos up. Now, whether he's still gay or not because he's got children now, I don't know. I don't care, honestly. But when I see a picture like that, it's kind of like,
here's the irony. All this theater on the mainstream media right now, all this topic that they're bringing up right now, oh, my gosh, the government's shutting down. FAA's now shutting down. Nashville International shut down. Chicago O'Hare shutting down. Chicago O'Hare shutting down.
What they're doing is they're bringing in. They've got shortage of air traffic controllers. They're shutting down LAX.
Yeah, LAX.
But they're only going to run it for like 4 hours a day.
But hey, you know, keep paying your taxes,
but
guys.
But you remember what the AOC said?
Uh huh.
Said you're not supposed to fly anymore.
Not supposed to fly anymore. The airlines and the airlines in the United States is already running like on a left limb, the other leg shot, with all the stuff that's going on. Now, here's a video. I want to play this for you guys. I'm going to let you guys watch this. This is a thought from Ian. He posted this the other day. And I'm going to let you guys see this. I'm going to play the audio for you guys.
I think he needs a beard.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
Gaza.
This is Gaza.
That Hamas fighting in, like, every single building in the Gaza Strip. I mean, if I was a thinking man, I would say that whoever did this wasn't interested in precision strikes and just taking out a terrorist target. It sort of looks like a complete and utter destruction of someone's homeland in order to take control of the geographic area.
He's right.
Look at that. I mean, the photos and the videos that have come out now, it's funny. One guy commented, it's wild now watching the German man's speeches in English finally as well.
Huh. They're talking about Hitler now.
I didn't make that comment. I'm just reading it.
Well, no, what happens, AI now has come in now with Hitler and the Nuremberg rallies.
They've done an actual true interpretation of it. Again, I'm not saying what he did was great. What I am saying is, though, there's a reason why you got to ask questions why they're allegedly our greatest ally. And we have to keep giving them money while our country is shut down. That's a big question everybody needs to be asking
I need to go into detail one time on this. But we're going to change topics now. There's a bunch of this show's getting a little bit too, well, you know. Hikers are in trouble. They're trapped on Mount Everest.
That's not the best place to be trapped.
No, listen to me for a second. Our weather is really messed up here for some reason. I mean, this is odd.
Florida. Don't come here. Still not good.
No, yet. I mean, it's rainy, hot, cold, hot, rainy, hot, well, not cold, cool, rainy, hot. It's crazy. I've never seen it do something like this in October, but it's doing the same thing on Mount Everest.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Hikers are in trouble. There's thousands and thousands of people go to Mount Everest every year.
A lot of them don't go to the top, though, either. They hike some of the base stuff.
Well, there are a lot of dead bodies there, too.
There's a lot of dead bodies.
And there's a lot of trash.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they don't, because it's so high up there, they don't really have the ability to go in and hire the Sherpas. Well, I guess they do have the ability, probably not the funding, to clean this mess up.
Well, it's hard sometimes, too, to pack everything out.
It is.
Blizzards,
oxygen bottles everywhere. Yeah. Hundreds of people are stranded on Mount Everest after a massive snowstorm as rescuers race to save the hikers. You know, and there's movies been done about this stuff. Oh, yeah. Tents, people's tents have been crushed, with some climbers suffering from hypothermia due to freezing condition. Local villagers and rescue teams have been shoveling snow to clear blocked roads to reach the campsites, which are 16,000 feet above ground level. According to the Chinese state media, Juma News, 350 trekkers have been brought down to safety and have reached the small town of Kutang. As reported, contact has been made with the remaining 200 plus. The major rescue operation began earlier on Thursday, last week. It depends on the eastern slope of Mount Everest. Snow started falling heavily on Friday evening and continued through Saturday. The weather forced ticket sales and entry to the Everest Scenic Area to be suspended late Saturday, according to the local town. It was so wet and so cold in the mountains, hypothermia was a real risk. Now, here's the thing I'm going to say about this. Mount Everest is really a beautiful mountain. It is tough to get to the top.
Oh, yeah.
It really is. Just give me an airplane that's cabin control pressure,
and I'll fly over it.
I don't have to climb it. I'm not proving anything when I could fly over it with an aircraft, with a jet. Even when I was in the greatest shape of my life, Austin.
It's 30,000 feet. You can easily fly over it with a good jet.
Easily. Even when I was, you know, the best shape I've ever been in, the mood to go and conquer Mount Everest never attacked me. I did not want to do it. I thought to myself, what is wrong with these people? They can die there. Now it's the same. Now the same thing. It's like
it's a goal accomplishment.
Well, no, I got some it. It's like a lot of people do free diving.
Yeah,
they'll go down 200-300 feet.
Oh
sometimes.
Yeah, cave free diving. That's that. Mm-hmm. I had a good buddy of mine almost died.
Well, he blacked out.
Blacked out.
And
yeah.
You know, so I mean, but he doesn't do it anymore.
No, he doesn't. Do it anymore.
So he got through all. It. So there's certain types of people are always asking, how do you live long? You know, I always tell them, wear your seatbelt. You know, seatbelt. Yes, it's a landmine.
We're not talking about cars. We're talking about cars.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Also, too, it's a metaphor.
Yeah, it's a metaphor. Don't step on landmines. You know, don't smoke 5 packs of cigarettes a day. Don't go climb Mount Everest. Don't try to clear landmines in the Ukraine with a handheld landmine detector.
Oh, gosh, those videos are horrible.
Horrible videos. I mean, don't do certain things that are massively increase your risk of death. Don't do them. Now, some of you are going to say, well, don't fly planes either. You're right.
Pick your poison, I guess.
You're right. I remember my insurance agent told me years ago, whatever you do, don't get a plane and fly. And I like, well, I want to fly. No, it's unbelievably dangerous.
No.
And true enough, I know a lot of people that have passed away who fly small planes. What are you
playing? Nothing.
Video? Okay.
Yeah.
And so just be real careful. Don't ride motorcycles without a helmet.
Yeah.
And if you're in really heavy traffic, don't ride motorcycles at all.
No, and best not to ride motorcycles in Florida, unless you're in a small area.
And take your ultimate multiple every day. Use purple sticks instead of coffee.
Or energy drinks.
Yeah, instead of Monster energy drinks. I mean, there's all kinds of things that you can do to decrease your risk of certain types of diseases. Take turmeric every day to reduce the risk of cancer. Take black seed oil on a regular basis. Do all of the things that you know to do on a regular basis and avoid the landmines. The biggest thing are the landmines, Austin. Yeah. And I used to do this. You know, I used to ride motorcycles, you know, and I did some crazy stuff on bikes. But the reality is I got through it, and then I finally started realizing when my kids were young, I had this BMW 1600 GTL, nice bike, 10-second quarter-mile bike, and I thought to myself, what am I doing? I've got children at home.
It's so fun, though, to go back on a ride on some of the back roads here in Florida.
Until you hit sand in a corner.
Well, yeah, that's what you got to know, another thing, or on the track. Track's great.
Track's better.
I love tracks.
But the crazy thing, I remember I had a pastor friend of mine. Used to ride around, we went on a back road one time, my pastor friend. He had a big old gold wing. I forgot what I was driving. I think I had this BMW. And in fact, I bought the BMW to go ride with this church group. I did. Yeah. And all of a sudden, I'm riding the BMW. And here's what I learned on a motorcycle. If you're going on a back road that you've never been on before, you better drive that back road first.
That's exactly right. Run a test run on it before you start cutting corners, dragging knees.
Yeah, because you better make sure there's not sand out there or gravel out there. Because if you hit the gravel or you hit the sand in a tight corner and you're leaning into it,
sidewall,
the bike's going down. I'm just letting
There's no way about it. It happens fast.
Because it's like ball bearings.
Fast.
That sand is like little tiny ball bearings. It just slides out from underneath you. I mean, I've had it happen. It's the pits.
We all have. And everybody, if you've ridden bikes long enough, you do it one time usually.
I've still got the scars on my left knee. I went out with this pastor, and he's got this goalie. Now, we're on this back road out of Polk City. I mean, the middle of nowhere out there on that Green Pond, yeah. And we're back there.
Fun road.
And he is going completely nuts. And I hadn't ridden the road yet. He hadn't either. And he's cutting around about showing about how bad he is to the bone. Yeah. And finally, I kind of poked up, you know, 20 seconds after he got to the end. And he's, oh, you're going slow. I beat you. And I'm like, yeah. I've been riding for 50 years, 60 years.
He hasn't been riding that long.
No.
He got a bike just because he was riding.
Well, he did that a few months later. Bike came out from underneath.
Oh, he ate it.
Almost killed himself. Yeah. And because the thing about it is there's certain things that you do. When you do a, when you fly a plane, there's a checklist on the plane, Austin.
Yeah.
And you watch me go through all that checklist every time I flew.
Yeah, every time.
Pre-flight check. Because people will say, well, why do you rev the motor up before you take off? That's a good question. You're sitting there. You're doing your pre-flight check. You go to full throttle. You pull it back. You do it in case the motor's going to blow up.
And you do it to make sure it's going to rev up so you're not going halfway into it.
Because you'd rather have it blow up before takeoff. Well, his motor just blew up. Well, at least I'm not, you know, 500 feet, 1,000 feet, 2,000 feet up in the air. You know, now I turn myself into a, my plane's a glider, which is still okay as long as you make the corner and can make the cut and make the landing.
Better off to be a little higher if it blows up, not right off the end of the runway.
I remember one time I had this one guy who was with me, and he was trying to stall my plane.
Yeah.
He's an instructor. It was 210, almost impossible to stall at full throttle. It would just climb, right? And so he basically gets this thing, and he's pushing it real hard. He cracked the cylinder.
I remember that.
Remember that?
Yeah.
No offense, the guy was a moron. And, you know, so we're flying. So I take the plane up the following week. I'm up with my buddy doing some more advanced training. And he says, you're missing on a cylinder. I couldn't even feel it all. He felt it. He had that many. He had like 30,000 hours. He says, you're missing one of your cylinders. He says, we're flying on five cylinders. The plane took off fine. It had so much power.
That thing had so much power.
Okay. And he calls the air traffic control. He goes, we've got an emergency. To hit Papa Mike. We need clear landing space. And I'm like, what the heck's he doing? There's nothing wrong with the plane. And so we end up basically landing the aircraft.
Yeah.
With that incident. And I thought myself, okay. So sure enough, he says, get your cylinder set. You got one of them cracked. And sure enough, I had the guys come over and swap out a cylinder for me.
No compression on one of them?
Yeah. But you know, but the point is, you got to know what you're doing when you're in these planes.
With any extreme sport, whether your car's on a track, whether your motocross, or your motorcycles, you got to take your time building up to it. But this is another story I want to cover now. This is kind of funny.
Say no to Mount Everest.
Yeah. No, this is funny, though, as far as this is wild. This got almost no publicity at all. The Supreme Court has fully declined to hear Ghislaine Maxwell's appeal. They have declined it. They said they want nothing to do with her. They don't want to touch it. It's basically a tar baby. They are not listed to appeal at all.
Well, they don't want that. Does that records make public?
Exactly right. This just came out, and nobody has talked about Supreme Court on Monday setups. It will not hear any appeal from Jeffrey Epstein Associates, Ghislaine Maxwell, who's serving a 20-year prison sentence after being found guilty of sex trafficking.
You know what that means? They've looked at the records.
That's exactly right.
And there was no indication for any appeal.
None.
Because she was
Zero.
Fully affected.
They will touch
They're it. Saying now that this was, you know, fake news. It wasn't fake news.
No, dude, she got convicted for trafficking minors, for sex trafficking. She got convicted of it. Supreme Court said, there's nothing to look at.
So the only way they can get her out now is Donald Trump has to pardon her.
Which, boy, you want to talk about.
You talking about a tar baby.
Woo.
Well, he wouldn't do it until he's about to leave office. He'd do it like the day he leaves
the day,
office.
Like the Biden did with all that stuff with Fauci.
But Biden didn't do it. He used an auto with him.
That was to shield him on it. But I thought you guys would get a kick out of this.
Gold over 4,000.
Oh, I saw that yesterday. Crazy, man. I pulled up Atmex to see they're like 84,000 for a tube of gold. For a tube.
Oh my God.
Nuts. I mean, and here's the thing. I had a good buddy of mine yesterday call me because he's all excited because he does a lot of gold stuff. He had a huge stucco company in Florida. And he goes, you know what this means, Austin, don't you? He said, it's climbing at such an exponential rate right now. He goes, it means that everybody's moving into it.
That's right.
The demand is going up and the supply is going down.
You know, just for kicks and giggles yesterday, I went to a Rolex store.
They have anything? They usually don't have any inventory.
No inventory.
Still, yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
No, they still don't. And all the high-end luxury watch brands now, all the MSRPs are going up again the end of this year. They just had a price increase at the beginning of this year. It's had another price increase the end of this year.
Well, you know, some of those Rolex watches, it's almost hard to believe. They got 9-10 ounces of gold in one watch.
A lot of brands. Audemars, too, those APs, some of them, they're a lot of gold. And what's happening is now these markets with gold and silver and platinum are going through the roof.
Can you imagine if you were the head guy at Rolex trying to figure out how to price your product?
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
But think about it.
And then there's a delicate market, too, because they're using this much gold to make these watches. But at the same time, if gold has a correction, which I don't think it will have much, but it has a huge correction, now everybody's like, well, I'm not going to pay this much money for a watch because gold's dipped down. So you have this really weird, you know, balance of trying to figure out what to do with the money.
They showed me this one picture of this watch yesterday. I couldn't believe it was. Can you believe this? It was $59,000 for a watch.
Oh yeah,
and some of those Patek Philippe's, those things are in the hundreds of thousands.
Audemars, yeah.
You kind of look at them, you go, it's a watch.
It's a watch. But the thing about it is when gold starts hitting 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 an ounce.
Well, yeah, that's true. If you've got 10 ounces of gold on a watch, just
even if it's 18 carats, what, 75%? So, yeah. I mean, you're looking, yeah. Yeah. But anyways, this is a story I thought I would cover. This is kind of a funny story. So we got some stuff we're covering today. Cracker Barrel.
It was just like Bud Light. That's what this is.
They dumped the agency responsible for the logo change. They're revamping all the leadership. They said the fiasco ended up costing the company over $100 million because they wanted to go in and change their sign.
Parking lot's empty in Lakeland.
Oh, I know. Well, I went by the one in Lakeland. They still have the new sign out, the gay sign.
And the building's still painted white.
Mm-hmm. Well, because you got to remember, they changed all these facilities. You know how much money they put in contractors and material and all this stuff?
And you know how difficult it's going to be if they auctioned all that stuff off that was in there, all those antiques everywhere, and how difficult to get back?
Yeah. Well, some of that stuff, because, I mean, from what I had been told, because I used to go to Cracker Barrel a lot with my grandma, and most of the stuff they got, that stuff was all, like, gathered from auctions. Because a lot of stuff was, like, it was original, like, old equipment and stuff that. They gathered it from auctions and basically from, you know, estate auctions. They go in and buy all this stuff the company would back in the day, and they distribute it to the facilities, to the restaurants. Well, if you just go in and you start taking that stuff, you do the same thing, you auction it off. That equipment, those tools and all the cool stuff, all the old photos they had, that isn't something you can just go to Walmart and go buy more of right now. Call up China. I need another, you know, 5,000 sickles that were used in 1850.
No,
that stuff doesn't exist anymore. So it's funny about this, though. This was a giant tar baby. CEO Julie Messino announced the new logo on 19th. The next day, the company's market cap crashed over $100 million. Now, it's interesting. They're not saying that this $100 million even includes what the revamp costs are going to be, including the new signage again, the paint, the interior.
Yeah, but here's the problem.
I don't know.
Bud Light never came back.
No, it didn't.
So there's no guarantee that people are going to go back to Cracker Barrel, even if they go back to the old logo.
The only benefit that Anheuser-Busch had with Bud Light is Bud Light was not their only brand. They had diverse brands. Cracker Barrel has Cracker Barrel.
And Bud Light got crushed.
Bud Light got crushed, but you still had other brands that they used.
All the NASCAR redneck boys still won't drink it.
I told you, I was at a show. It was like a comedy show in Tampa one time, and I was trying to get a pretzel, and this guy in front of me, you can tell he's been drinking pretty heavy. He's funny, though. He's kind of like a country guy. He walks up there. He's like, I need me like a Coors Light or something. They go, all we have left is Bud Light. Bud Light? I'm not buying Bud Light. I'd rather not drink to get Bud Light. Walks off all mad. And I'm like, boy, that hit a nerve.
You pick up the little redneck boys. They're done. They don't do it.
I mean, he would rather not drink and ran off mad than he would drink a Bud Light.
Could have saved him a DUI, though.
Could have been a benefit.
Oh, by the way, hilarious. President Trump responds to troublemaker Greta Thunberg. You know, remember, she no, don't get me wrong. She's a weirdo, okay?
She's a total weirdo.
But, you know, she's like, she got autism or some kind of Asperger's.
Yeah, I can't pick on her for that.
But she ain't right in the head. But she got arrested.
Again?
Oh, yeah.
Israel put her through a re-education about a month ago.
Today in the Oval Office, President Trump was asked a question about Greta Thunberg, who was recently arrested in Israel again and then subsequently deported again. And the response was absolutely hilarious. She's just a troublemaker, President Trump said, before mocking her grift from protesting climate change or the Israeli-Palestinian war. He then wanted to give her some advice to see a doctor for her obvious anger management issues. I laughed so hard when I saw this, and I said, wow. You know, and it says, he goes on to say, and if you watched her for a young person, she's so angry. She's so crazy. Now you can have her. You can have her. She's just a troublemaker. And I have to laugh at this one because, I mean, I never understood why they made her the poster child of the blind
woman. You know what's funny, though? They gave her enormous publicity. Every mainstream media.
Everybody knows who she is.
All the time. Whenever she was talking about green energy and climate change and all this stuff. Now that she's flipped the script and she's calling out Israel and she's bringing aid to Gaza.
Now she's a troublemaker.
You notice they do not cover her at all anymore. Zero. Mainstream media does not give her a second of airtime. She went to Israel, got busted. They put her through re-education camp, made her watch torture videos, by the way. That's the re-education. Kicked her out. She came back. And it's like she's been blacklisted now from even the green energy.
She was on a new flotilla. She didn't get on it. She said, I'm doing this again.
Yeah.
She had enough of it, too.
Well, because they've made it very clear, as you saw in the video, Israel does whatever Israel wants to do, and the United States supports it because, well, they're our greatest ally.
When have they ever come to our aid?
You know, remember that one? You know, one time we had this massive hurricane in 2004.
North Carolina.
Well, in 2004 in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
We had three hurricanes hit. I mean, wiped Central Florida out.
That's right.
And, you know, I remember, you know, Israel sent over billions of aid and all these support workers went, oh, wait, never mind. That was a flim-flam fairy tale. They didn't do a single thing for us. Oh, that's right. But they have support Israel Florida tags now with the orange and the Israel flag and Florida flag on it in the state of Florida. They sell that now. You can get a custom Florida tag with the Israeli flag on it to show how much you just love being a
You know what's funny is I would never put that on my car, and here's why. There are too many Muslims running around now, and there are too many people that support Palestine, and too many people are too mad about Gaza for you to put a sign like that on a car. So let's say
asking to get keyed, bro.
That's right. You go buy yourself a new Cadillac or a new Chevrolet or a new Silverado pickup truck, you know, with an American flag in the window. Of course, if you did that, you really probably wouldn't have that tag, would you, Austin?
No, you wouldn't have that tag because you support freedom in America.
Especially if you had an 8-inch lift on it with train horns. I don't think you'd have one of that.
We love train horns in Florida. Horn blasters, baby. Anyway, this is another article that came out. It says, how to boost GABA naturally. GABA is the brain's primary inhibitory neurotransmitter. Now, it's interesting about this. They said it's a reflection of rest, rhythm, and regulation. It's the chief principal inhibitory neurotransmitter, and it slows down nerve activity and calms you. And this goes into detail here how GABA-related brain cells and chemicals help control the brain's stress and anxiety, both in healthy people and those who are ill. And what's interesting, it talks about natural ways to boost it, but then there's also supplements, like we have, that actually have GABA in them. The Total Rest Formula, which I get enormous amounts of feedback from. Give me camera 4.
That's a great product.
It's got the magnesium in it. It's got the taurine. It's got the L-theanine. And it's got the GABA. 100 milligrams of GABA in every single serving. This is why we have this formula in the stack, Sleep Like a Baby. And this is also why I tell a lot of people, if they're having issues with anxiety or restlessness, make sure you're throwing this product in with like the ashwagandha and the cortisol buster. There's a lot of weird stuff going on right now. Let's be weird. Well, with the U.S., with the world. And I know a lot of people get stressed out depending on your job, family.
This really helps.
This really helps. And make sure you're prioritizing your mental health and giving your body the natural supplements that it needs. Because a Total Rest, this stuff I get a lot. It's a really underrated product. Every time people try it, they love it. But I don't think some people fully understand what this product is.
Oh, it's a phenomenal product. In fact, last night, I took my supplements, go to bed to sleep like a baby. And I went to bed like around 11:30. Then I woke up at 8 o'clock. I never got up once.
Did you take this last night?
Of course.
Yeah.
And what's the crazy part about it is I went to bed, took one melatonin.
One melatonin.
Out like a light.
Yeah.
And I slept straight the 8 hours.
That's always a good feeling.
Oh, yeah.
You actually get a good rest.
And I've learned something, though, with the melatonin. I do better if I take one when I go to bed because our stuff is really strong.
Oh, sometimes I'll take a half.
Yeah. And because I've learned if I take more than that, it down-regulates for my pineal gland. I know I'm not supposed to say the word pineal gland, but don't stroke out. I had something one time. One time I said the word pineal gland on a show, all hell broke loose. And I'm like, it's a gland in your brain that produces melatonin.
look up some anatomy, brother.
Oh, gosh. And I mean,
that was fun. I remember people writing letters like, you're new age because you talk about the pineal gland. You're like, dude, it produces melatonin. Find something else to complain about.
And fluoride calcifies it. It stops producing melatonin.
That's exactly
right. And then
what
happens is you don't produce melatonin. You can't sleep at night.
And I think people really underestimate how much good sleep is needed. You really got to get good rest.
And I'm going to say, let's stop and let's notch it back a notch. You know, when you go to sleep at night, if you leave your Wi-Fi turned on, it produces radio waves. Now, and you remember sunlight is a type of radio wave. They're all just all frequencies. And what happens is if you leave your Wi-Fi on or your cell phone on or even leave it plugged in at night, it continues to produce radio waves all night. Well, the pineal gland doesn't see it as a radio wave. It sees it as sunlight. That's what it sees it as. So it doesn't want to produce enough melatonin. It just doesn't do it. So if you really want a good night's sleep, you unplug your Wi-Fi and, you know, you let your pineal gland work so it doesn't think you're laying out on the beach, you know, at 12 o'clock in the daytime with bright sun in your eyes. It doesn't want to be in bright light and have you sleep. It wants to be in pitch black darkness. You know, it's interesting. In my master suite in my house where my bed is, I have all the windows like blacked out. And I make sure everything's unplugged at night so I can sleep. And like last night, I said I went to bed like 11:30, slept until 8 o'clock, never got up once. And people say, well, how do you do that, you know, with your prostate? I'm glad you asked. prostitutes. No, I hear that. No. Over the age of 40, it's like everybody's going, well, I got to get up every night two or three times and urinate. If you keep your prostate from swelling up on you, it's not going to do all that. Take your prostate support like you're supposed to. We have three different types of prostate formulas at the office. If you got a problem with prostate having to get up all night, which would be the piss, honestly, then what you do is you take all three of these to start with. Take four capsules of each every day until this whole thing calms back down again. Then figure out to titrate the dosing down of each of them and try to find out which one works the best for you. Just stick with one. And that way your prostate's not going to swell up on you. Because quite frankly, and I'm going to say this again. I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. With guys, it's really important when you're married, you let your wife know that you really need to be, you know, active with her because it really reduces the risk of prostate cancer. So very, very important, guys, that you understand this and take the prostate support and zinc.
Yes.
Take about 60, 75 milligrams of zinc every day. That really, 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 really helps.
I was going to say zinc is really important, especially for younger guys, too, that are exercising.
Mm-hmm.
It helps out with the prostate. It helps out as far as with recovery. Zinc's really crucial.
Well, zinc and B-complex are one of the primary ways you keep your hair from turning gray.
Yep.
It's one of people always asking me, you know, one time Austin grabbed my hair on the set. I'm like, what the heck, Austin, are you doing?
I had to grab your hair. See, we're talking. About. I
you
said,
tugged
grab
your,
yeah, I was trying to show everybody it's not a toupee. I'm just going around just grabbing your hair.
It's not a toupee, okay? So please don't send me those questions. And no, I don't color it. The zinc and the B complex, I take that every single day.
Well, and the thing is, I even tell younger guys in their 30s, because I run the prostate sport just a low dosage on it, because especially the thing, like you said, the big thing about prostate control is getting it. Basically, reducing inflammation before you swell.
Keeping it from swelling up.
Once it swells up, then you got to try to fight to get it back down. If you never let it go that way the first place, you never have any issues with
that's right.
it. And also be very careful with antihistamines and drugs like Sudafed.
Oh, my gosh.
They can cause a lot of prostate swelling.
Well, no, I had a friend of mine one time. He was teaching an ongoing educational class back in the 90s. He took Sudafed every day.
Yeah.
And, boy, within a couple of years, I talked to him. I said, how's your prostate doing? I'm on medication for that.
Nobody talks about that. For some odd reason, I don't understand the exact mechanics of it. But it is, if you're taking that, we should be taking that all the time anyways. Remember, if you're having a lot of issues with allergies, that is an inflammatory response. It's something you're eating. It's something you're drinking. It's something you're exposed to. I've had numerous people that have had issues with seasonal allergies down here in Florida with Florida pollen. If you've ever lived in Florida, when it starts pollinating with the oak trees, everything's orange. Everything's yellow. Everything's gold. It's just different colors of pollen.
And you're inhaling it.
And you're inhaling it. Well, a lot of times people have inflammatory responses to certain stuff like that. The turmeric force and the GHI cleanse. I knew a person time, they were taking up the 20 capsules of the turmeric force.
And they got rid of their allergies.
And now they hardly have to take any of it because they got that inflammatory response down. So you don't have to take antihistamines every day. They're not good for it. They're needed when they're needed. You got a bad cold, you got to do something. Okay, you got it. 1 or 2 days. But be careful of those things for what it
now,
does.
Now, what I do, if I ever have to take a Sudafed, which is very rarely, okay, for
probably,
the show or whatever.
Double the prostate support?
No, I double it.
Yeah.
Quadruple it. I just start taking all the prostate supports.
Yep.
Because I want to make sure it doesn't do it. I had a friend of mine who was a medical doctor. He's passed away now. But he told me he had to come in and catheter people because of Sudafed.
Yeah.
They couldn't urinate.
And for some odd reason, it never gets brought up, that topic with antihistamines.
Well, it's like Tylenol and autism.
Yeah.
Let me talk about it. Oh, here's a crazy report. This came in this morning. I shouldn't cover this. I'm going to cover it.
Oh, gosh.
It's called hybristophilia.
Hybristophilia.
I've never heard of it.
You have to explain that one. That one's out of my side of my scope.
And it deals with, it's a study, and it basically talks about women's sexual attraction to criminals.
That's an ongoing joke down here in Florida.
and you're looking at me like, right now, really, Ted, you're going to do this? I am, actually. A new study has found a connection between young women's engagement with certain content online and their sexual attraction to criminals. The research published in the Journal of Deviant Behavior. Of course there's a journal on deviant behavior. Suggests that actively watching or liking videos that romanticize offenders is associated with higher levels of hybristophilia, a term for specific attraction. The findings also indicate that personality traits like Machiavellianism and psychopathy are strong predictions of these tendencies. Now, I'm going to stop for 1 second. I'm going to say this to you for ladies that have and men who have daughters. This is important. There was one of the most beautiful girls in high school. I'm not going to mention her name. The girl was stunning. And she was attracted to this criminal. This guy's a complete, he'd failed like 3 years. He's older than everybody.
He's 20 years old in high school.
21 years old, and he's in high school, right? And, you know, but he's a male. I mean, he's got a full beard, you know. I mean, oh, look at me. And he used to go out every weekend and get drunk and go beat people up.
Yeah.
He's a complete criminal.
Sounds about right.
Okay. And this girl was absolutely infatuated with him. In fact, she married him.
Yeah.
And she had like three babies with him.
Yeah. That sounds great.
No, that's about right. And then what had happened is after she's about 26, 27 years old, he stayed drunk all the time.
Yeah. Probably in and out of jail still.
Yeah. And all of a sudden she goes, I've had enough of this. In German, you say, ich habe jetzt genug gehabt. I had enough. I've had none of it. And she divorced him.
Yeah.
And just a few years later, he overdosed and died with drugs. Mm. You think, okay, well, what's the point of this horrible story you're giving? Here's the point of the horrible story. And good luck with this. When you have kids, be very careful on who they associate with. Yes. And make sure that they understand, what am I doing? What's it doing to me? And is that okay? Now, because if you've got a guy that wants to go out and get drunk and take drugs and go beat people up and in and out of jail all of the time, there's a very high probability he's not going to do anything with his life. Now I'm going to stop for a second. There is a possibility, a small percentage-wise, that he may become successful because he's aggressive.
Or he can get reformed in college-based, or not college.
This guy didn't go to college.
In prison, a lot of times you can start working and learning if they want to change.
Well, the point is that if you ladies, listen to me. With this, whatever this is, what is it called again?
This topic.
Hybristophilia. I don't know. Riley sent it to me. I don't know. But women are always looking for the bad guy. Whoa! Did I say that? You're too nice to date. You're marriage material. You're just too nice to date. And so therefore,
why are you calling him?
I'm not calling.
Well, yeah. No, why are you calling him? Somebody's calling him, and I know you're listening to the show right now because you probably want to make it on the show.
Well, you probably got something to say.
I know exactly.
It's one of my high school friends, and they're going, we know who you're talking
about.
Put
me on the show. Put me on the show.
And I'm like, oh,
listen, call him at 11:01, please.
Oh, and so the crazy part about this is it's either that or some scam call, one of the two.
I don't think it was scam likely.
You know what I need to do is I need to start blocking this unknown phone calls again.
I've done that a lot of them.
Yeah.
If they're with the weird scam likely.
But anyhow, why am I saying this? Sorry about the phone call. I should have had it turned off. But the thing about it is that when you have this type of attraction towards criminals, women do it too. They'll start dating somebody online in prison, Austin.
It's the same way it goes. I mean, there's girls that try to have relationships that are incarcerated. There's videos that are online. It's funny you say that. One of my real good buddies in Tampa years ago, he was dating this chick. And he said the exact same thing. He did very short dating. He dated her for like a couple weeks, and she had two kids. Well, he found out, he's like, well, where's the dad? She goes, well, the first dad, he's in prison right now. He's been like 10 years. Goes, okay, what about the second one? Well, he's currently in county right now. He's also locked up. He goes, so both your baby daddies are both incarcerated.
Oh, yeah,
right now.
I've heard that.
Oh, yeah. And he's like, I just don't think I want to go. Either you got some bad juju and everybody that dates you goes to jail, or you just got real bad taste.
Okay, let me drop it back a notch. A lot of times women are tired of dating beta men.
Yeah.
God, I can't believe I said it, but I did. You know I'm right. You know, you talk to them and they go, well, you know, they're all kind of pansies. But they don't use that word. They use another word. They use the meow word. And you go, well, they're pansies. And they won't protect me. You hear that, Austin?
Yep.
They won't protect me. Now, listen to me, man. This is really important. Let me give you a little example here. If you're an alpha male or you're a wannabe alpha male or you're trying to be an alpha male and you're trying to learn, you've got to be willing. If you've got a girlfriend and you're in public to protect her, or if you have a wife, you have to be willing to die for her. Now, you say, well, that's harsh. Dude, really? If someone attacks your wife, you're not going to sit there and try to defend her to the point of being and losing your own life. You need to understand that's part of what your responsibility is.
I have preached this to a lot of young guys, is you got to learn combat skills. You got to learn how to either carry firearms, hand-to-hand, jiu-jitsu. I recommend all the above that I just listed. Because on top of that, you don't want to be in a situation where you do have to protect your girlfriend or your wife or your kids, and you have no skill set. Remember, you don't rise to the occasion in a high-degree combat zone. You drop to your lowest form of training. Remember that. You don't suddenly become John Wick when you get in conflict. You drop to whatever your lowest training. If your lowest training is being a slug on the couch eating Doritos all day because you're so tired, you have no energy, you don't even know how to throw a proper punch or block, that's what you're going to drop to in a high-stress conflict zone. You're not going to rise up and be John Wick running around, you know, tightening everybody up with close-range pistol shots. It doesn't happen. That's why in the military, especially in infantry, they beat it into them. They train them. They stop training. They train more. And when they stop training again, they train train more. They never stop training. So no matter what happens, that is your normal response, is as aggressive as you've been trained. Remember that if you're young.
Same thing with pilots. You remember the time I lost the alternator.
Yep.
Lost my instruments.
You dropped to your lowest degree of training.
You said, Dad, are you okay? I said, yeah, I've been trained to handle this. And I never, there was nothing. I was ice cold. I just landed the plane without incident. And that's the biggest problem that you have with men nowadays. They're not trained to be men anymore.
No.
Years ago, I'm going to tell the story. I don't think I've ever told the story on the air. I'm going to use a bad word. Guys, don't get mad at me about that. I actually said this to this guy. We're on a ship. It was like our honeymoon cruise. Me and your mom.
That was a long time ago.
Oh, my God. This is a long time ago. And I was still pretty muscled up from, you know, entering the Southeastern Mr. America contest. I was still pretty good shape. And I remember we were on the ship, and I may have told the story before, but I'll kind of go a little bit more detail with it. And this first mate, the guy right under the captain, was at the gangway basically saying goodbye to everybody as they were going to shore for the day. And he was, like, grabbing the women that were married and, you know, kind of like, well, he was feeling them up is what he was doing.
Like hugging them, like grabbing them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was totally inappropriate. And he could have sat there and put his hands behind his back if he couldn't resist touching the women. And he grabbed your mom.
Yeah.
And I looked at him, and I gave him the look like, don't do that again. The next day we were leaving again. He went to grab her again. He put his hand around her. I grabbed him by the wrist.
Yeah.
And I said to him, and forgive me, I'm going to say a bad word. I said, you touch my wife again, I'm going to knock your ass out.
Yeah.
Now, you know me. You know I would do that.
Oh, yeah.
And he looked at me. He's like 6'3". He's a big boy. And he goes, what did you say to me? I said, you heard me. I said, I'm going to knock your ass out. I said, you don't touch my wife again. I said, you felt her up yesterday. You felt these other women up. I'm not putting up with it anymore. And all the women around me started applauding.
Really?
They all started applauding because their husbands would not defend them. But I said, I told this boy, and then I looked at him, and I forgot his name, and I said, now I'm going to the bridge, and I'm going to report you to the captain, and I'm not going to see you on the rest of this trip. And we never saw him again.
Really?
But he was that kind of a pervert. And here's what he's doing. Now, let me tell you what he was doing. There's enough women on that. He was a good-looking dude, big guy, 6'3". There's enough women on that ship who don't get attention from their husbands.
That's exactly right. And he was basically taking advantage of that.
And he wanted to let them know, you know, they're going to come see him later on and say, oh, you held me this morning. It was kind of nice. You want to go back to your cabin or my cabin?
Yeah.
Outside, no, listen to me. That kind of crap happens. And what these guys do is they throw out bait.
Yep.
They throw out a lure. They go fishing. They go trolling. And they try to find a woman who's going to do it. But in the meantime, all these other women that aren't interested get mad.
Yeah.
And not one husband said anything. I guess because he was such a big dude.
Yeah.
But my straight grabbed his arm. I said, you ain't touching my wife again, boy. And he looked at me kind of funny. Like, what the heck are you doing? I said, no, not again. I'll knock your ass out. And he looked at me kind of funny. Listen to me. If you're not willing to protect your wife, it's like Austin said. Now, I didn't have a gun on me. You know, I was up in Canada. I didn't have a gun on me because in Canada, man, they got crazy laws up there. You remember one time we go up to Canada, we're in a motorhome. We bought some fireworks.
Oh,
I forgot where. And they asked me, I had to fill all these forms out because they were going to search the motorhome. Do you have any explosives or whatever? They seized the stinking fireworks.
No, they took all my fireworks.
Yeah. And because Canada's funny about that. And I couldn't believe it because I didn't want to lie on this form because they said they were going to look through the motorhome. I'm like, this is crazy.
But then put you in a precarious situation.
Well,
you say you don't have them, then they find them. Now is your border crossing.
Well, now you're lying.
Yeah.
Okay. And the crazy part about it is that, you know, we were up in Canada when that happened. I was not armed, but I wasn't going to put up with it. I wasn't going to have this guy feel up my wife. And Sharon was, she was insanely beautiful, especially when she was young. I mean, she was beautiful her whole life, but when she was young, it was ridiculous. The problem was is that I had to do that several other times with other people, tell them not to touch my wife. Be that man. Protect that woman. If you love somebody, you're going to protect them. God so loved you that he gave his only son for you. He loves you that much. You should be willing to protect your wife and say something to somebody. Or if it's a situation that you shouldn't be in, if you've gone somewhere you shouldn't go, if you're doing something you shouldn't do, if you're hanging out with people you shouldn't hang out with, maybe you need to change your behavioral patterns and not put your wife in that situation again.
That's also true.
And also make sure she walks on the inside of the sidewalk and not outside on the street. Really important. And don't allow her to walk behind you or in front of you. Just have her walk beside you as a team member with you. Don't be making her walk behind you. You can't see what's happening behind you.
Hold her hand.
Hold her hand. Take her arm. Let her take your arm. And make that a rule that when you go out with somebody with your wife, you need to take my hand. You need to hold my arm. The same thing with your kids when you have them in public. Hold their hands.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if you're on a street corner.
The thing with young kids is, you know, I've seen the surveillance videos. I've talked to the sheriff's deputies. Childhood, it's a weird topic I hate talking about, but childhood abductions usually happen incredibly fast, especially street abductions. It's not something that occurred. Remember that one girl a couple weeks ago I talked about a story? That guy in California tried to grab her. And she was training jiu-jitsu and martial arts.
Oh, yeah.
Ended up kicking him right in the gonads. Then busted his ankle. He tripped over himself. She's done like 20 competitions. Make sure if you got your kids with you, you're being very active and having situational awareness. The level of child trafficking, especially in Florida, is a very real problem. We had a gigantic bust off I-275 in Tampa at a hotel I have driven past dozens and dozens of times right off the interstate. And they said they got like 60 or 70 kids out of this hotel. It was a horrible sting operation. I mean, young kids all the way down to 5 and 6 years old. This stuff happens on a regular basis. Be aware of it. Don't be sitting on your phone like some stinking hillbilly faggot and you have no idea what's going on with it. And I'm being serious. I can't tell you how many times I've gone out in public and you got these beta men.
Did you just say faggot?
I said it very clearly. Don't act like it. I'm being serious because I'm sick of it. I go out in public sometimes and I see like a husband or a dad with his kids and he's sitting there on the phone the whole time. Like talking on the phone, sitting on the phone. The kids are walking around. That fast it happens. That fast it happens. I've seen situations. I've helped stop situations. I've watched videos of situations. It happens so quick.
This is why when I take the kids out, your kids, you know that I'm going to take care of them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because you know I die for them.
Well,
and when we're walking like, you know, around Lake Hollingsworth or something like that, I say, you stay within 20 feet of me.
Yeah.
If you want to go out into the grass, not near the road, okay.
Yeah.
But you don't go that way. You stay here with me.
Well, no, I mean, this was years. I'm the same way. If I got friends' kids with me, they get treated the exact same way. They're going to listen. They're going to be protected. I remember this was years ago. We were at like a resort with some of our friends. They had two girls, and I have a daughter, and the girls were running around this water park. This was a while back ago, and I remember this random guy. I don't think he was being nefarious, but they were like asking him for directions. Well, he was sitting there talking to him, and I saw the corner of my eye, and I walked over there immediately, and he's probably in his 40s. I said, hey, what's going on? He goes, oh, they were asking me a question. I said, okay, well, I'm with them now. They're taken care of. And he goes, well, I'm not trying to start anything. I said, well, you're sure here having a long conversation with three little girls by yourself, aren't you, bud? Aren't you? Looks a little weird. Hey, man, I don't want any problems. I said, who are you here with? Well, I'm here by myself. I said, okay, go back to be by yourself. Not here anymore. And he walked off. And I told the dad of the daughters as well. I said, I don't know who this guy is, but it was a little shady to me. You're sitting there talking to three little girls by yourself, trying to have a protracted conversation with them. Not appropriate. Not okay. Not on my watch. Not going to happen.
And you know, he knows better than that.
I mean, if I had three little girls run up to me, hey, where's this place at? I don't know. Ask one of the staff here. Unless somebody's in trouble and you engage me, I'm not going to sit there and have a conversation with you. You're not my daughters. You're not my to deal with. Because you got to be really careful of that because you have no idea. Oh, yeah, I know where that's at. Come here with me. I'll take you guys over here. They're on the back side. It's over by my room.
Your parents told me it was okay. Your parents said it was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I saw your parents over there. Oh, okay. You know, four or five-year-old girls.
And that's one of the big problems of putting name tags on kids. That's
exactly right. I'm real funny about that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, by the way, but that's why hybristophilia is so common because women are tired. No, I'm going to close that.
Yeah, tie back in.
Because all these guys are such candy boys.
Well, no, because a lot of the guys that are criminals, they know how to fight. That is one thing about
it. And they know how to protect.
And they know how to protect. That's a true sample on it. Now, this is another story I want to cover right here. It says how brain chemicals shape your blood sugar. Expert tips restore neurotransmitter balance.
This is a big story.
This is huge. And I talk about this all the time because a lot of times your dopamine and serotonin are cooked. Your dopamine receptors are burned out, which makes you want to eat more junk food to get that dopamine high because of the preservatives they put in the food. With the high fat, high carb, high sugar, it stimulates dopamine. A lot of the preservative-laced food, a lot of the ultra-processed food is designed to be addictive. It's designed to make you want to keep eating it. High fructose corn syrup increases ghrelin in the stomach. Ghrelin is basically hunger hormone. It makes you start feeling hungrier. Why do you think they put high fructose corn syrup in ketchup in the United States and nowhere else in the world?
Makes it addictive.
You put it on your french fries. You put it on your burger. Well, then you're eating it. You want to eat more. That's why if you ever notice you eat something, high fructose corn syrup, you want to keep eating. You're like, I'm full. You just ate a 1,200 calorie meal, burger, shake, whatever. You're still hungry, but you're not hungry. Your body's been tricked to keep releasing ghrelin from high fructose corn syrup, and it keeps making you want that. So when you start having blood sugar highs and lows, blood sugar swings disrupt neurotransmitter functions as well, and it affects appetite and blood sugar. It disrupts the mind, and to restore balance, you need to make sure you're nourishing your gut. About 90% of serotonin is produced in the gut. That's why the 5-HTP is a really important product to stay on a regular
basis. Great product.
Again, another product that's really underrated. That helps your body produce serotonin, gives it the raw ingredients. It says focus on neurotransmitter precursors like the total rest. You get a good night's sleep. Limit caffeine, especially after 2 p.m. That affects sleep. Exercise regularly. This is a huge one because this is designed to make your body have a normal appetite cycle. Your body's designed to have an appetite cycle where you get hungry, you eat a small meal, you get hungry, you eat a small meal. Exercising, which breaks down muscle tissue, causes your body to increase IGF or insulin-like growth factor. That gives you enormous appetite to recover and make your body feel better. When you don't exercise, you don't do anything, and you start eating high fructose corn syrup, your body stays in this manipulated state of hunger all the time because all you're doing is feeding it garbage and the dopamine's low.
I remember Billy Brown, he used to work out with me. We used to do these crazy 36 set leg workouts.
Oh yeah.
He'd call me up. He goes, man, I'm so hungry I can eat the bark off a tree.
True.
And it's the IGF.
You do. Some of those workouts you want to eat. But that's the way your body's designed to be. So
yeah. Oh, by the way, Charlie Kirk leaked a text confirming that he was livid about bullying Jewish donors. This is Daily Mail.
This is, yeah.
In fact, the Daily, what they're saying, he says, I'm leaving the pro-Israel cause.
Put on center camera, Rich.
Says Charlie Kirk furiously criticized bullying. They were bullying him. Jewish donors said he was considering leaving the pro-Israel cause before his death. It was confirmed today. The bombshell revelation comes after Candace Owens, who said she would do this, as she did, released a screenshot of Kirk's fuming in a group chat that Jewish donors are pulling funding over his links to Tucker Carlson.
Now, the weird thing about this is they didn't tell who he was texting. They blocked that out. They blocked out who he was texting because it's funny. He says, it leaves me no choice but to leave the pro-Israel cause. Jewish donors are playing into all the stereotypes.
In the text messages, Kirk privately complained that the Jewish donor had withdrawn a $2 million investment into the organization because he refused to disinvite Tucker Carlson to an upcoming America Fest event. Just lost another huge Jewish donor, Kirk wrote. $2 million a year, Austin,
because we won't
cancel Tucker. I'm thinking of inviting Candace to the event to speak.
Now, it's funny about this. Whoever he was texting didn't want Candace going either. So this was somebody that was involved that didn't like what he said about the pro-Jewish donor. Because the next thing he says, please don't invite Candace. That might feel good short term, but not good long term, in my opinion.
And now someone has said that his wife was an Israeli honeypot. Now, I don't know that. I'm just saying that.
He did meet her in Israel.
But here's the article. Kirk first met his wife, Erica, in Israel shortly before their romance began.
Mm.
Kirk claims in a text message, Jewish donors have pulled $2 million are going to invite Tucker Carlson to speak.
Yep.
So, wow. Owens claims that the screenshots were sent by Kirk 2 days before he was assassinated while speaking to a group of students at Utah Busy University. Now, you know, one thing about Candace Owens, I'll give her this. She will go ahead and slam who she wants to slam, just like Tucker Carlson is doing and just like Kanye is done. Just like Michael Jackson was doing. And what the problem is, when you finally
Kobe Bryant started doing it too,
and he ended up checking out. The reality is all these people start seeing who's running the world and how that's being controlled through money. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil, the Word of God says.
That's a fact. And the thing about it is, when these guys have a platform and they got millions of followers on social media and they're making millions of dollars, people listen to what they say. And that's what Charlie Kirk was doing. He had such a following and he started – it was only about 5 weeks before he started to turn face on his entire pro-Israel stance, before he's dead.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he called out Ben Shapiro, that stinking little jit. I mean, I can't stand that guy. I mean, absolutely blast Jesus on Joe Rogan's show.
I know.
And – he calls out. He goes, well, we know, Ben, that all the Jews run the media. He gets this look on his face like, oh, I'm angry now. I'm an angry little Jew. That's what gets look on his face. No, I'm serious. I can't stand Ben Shapiro. He's a complete and total Mossad agent. All he does is talk bad about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. All he does is slam Christianity. And yet you still have these Christian people go, oh, no, he's for America. He hates America and he hates Christians. He says it. He hates Christ. People still stuck up for him. Anyways, I don't want to get another rant.
Austin's vein is popping out. Remember, keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. Remember, we can do all things through Jesus who gives us strength. And always keep your hearts focused on the great I am, God Almighty, and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And ask for his continued guidance through all the days of your life. I love you guys so much and I appreciate you. I'm still trying to get my blood pressure down from Austin's last run.
Sorry about that.
Oh, and remember, the ultimate powder is still on sale for a few more hours.
You guys need it? Check it out.
You'll never do that. Oh, awesome. Oh,
look at that.
He's shooting the score.
I am good today. I'm on a roll.
I love you guys.
Appreciate you guys. Talk to you again tomorrow as always.